Well, Girl Scout cookie season has come and gone again. I like several of the cookie varieties that they offer, which makes it difficult to choose only one type of cookie. It seems that each year the Girl Scouts are introducing new cookie varieties from which they would like for us to choose, but there's only a handful of cookie varieties that many of us gravitate toward. I know I do. Good morning, and thank you for joining us in worship. I encourage you to stay with us following worship for more on the particular imitation that's really better.
Good morning. Let's be standing for our first song, please. Good morning, church. It is so good to see you today. We're glad that you're here, glad that you've joined us. What a great way to start our week as we begin the week offering praise and thanks to the one who has been so, so very good to us. We're glad you've chosen to be here today. We're in spring break travel season. I know we have a lot of folks on the road going from place to place. Let's remember them, please, as they travel for safe passage and for good rest as they're away from us. I know we have visitors this morning. We're glad you've chosen to join us, and perhaps you're traveling as well, but we're very, very glad that you're here. I want to remind our grand timers, we're in the process of signing up for a fun event on April the 23rd. We'll be traveling to the 54 Dinner Theater in Donelson to see the production of Arsenic and Old Lace. This Wednesday is the last day to sign up, so please do that. If you're still debating, we would love to have you there. This will be a fantastic event with lunch provided as a part of that, and we hope that you'll come be with us. We're going to have a scripture reading here in just a moment from Matthew 25. Right after that, Chad Wagner is going to lead us in prayer. Some of you know Chad. He serves as president of African Christian Schools. This church certainly has a very long history of involvement with African Christian Schools. So, Chad, it is good to have you with us today, and we'll look forward to you leading us in prayer. From Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it to me. Chad.
Let us pray together. Our Father and our God in heaven, we are grateful to you for your Son Jesus, for the sacrifice he made for us on a cross, and we're especially thankful that he conquered the grave the third day. We have hope of eternal life, and all of that is through the gift of your Son Jesus Christ. We're also especially thankful for the church, which he purchased with his own blood. We ask that you continue to bless the church worldwide, but especially the church here at Green Hills, that they may continue to lead and show the example of Christ to the community around us. We pray for the leadership of this church. We pray for the preacher and all those who will participate in today's worship service, and help our hearts and our minds be open to the Word of God. Forgive us of any wrongs, Father. We ask all this in you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Unison reading comes from 1 Peter 4:8 through 9. Please read along with me. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The communion reading this morning will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup." So as we're about to give thanks for the bread, let's put all distracting thoughts out of our mind. Let's focus on the sacrifice that Jesus made for willingly leaving heaven for us and coming to give his life as a sacrifice for us. He didn't count equality with God as something to be grasped or held on to, but he willingly gave that up in the form of a servant. So as we take of this bread, let's remember that sacrifice that he willingly gave for us. God and Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with, that we can come here and worship you and study more about your will. God, help us at this time to remember the sacrifice that you made in giving your only Son to come to earth in the form of a servant and die for our sins and for the sins of the world. Help us to remember the wounds that he suffered and the humility that he gave and the example that he set for us. God, we're just so thankful for that sacrifice. Help us to just remember you and remember Christ as we take of the bread and to remember the sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's give thanks for the cup. God and Father in heaven, we come to you again, remembering the sacrifice, the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins and for the sins of the world. God, help us to live our life, to let our light shine before others, that they may see our good works and give you the glory because of that sacrifice, God, because of your love, your mercy, and your grace, even though we don't deserve it, God, but Jesus poured out his blood for us and for the sins of the world. Thank you so much. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us. And God, please have mercy on us as sinners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
well as in foreign lands. Chad Wagner is joining us this morning. Chad is with African Christian Schools. Many of us have ties that go back with African Christian Schools for decades. The church here has been involved with the organization since, I think, the 70s, maybe before that. I'm not positive, but a good long time. They train men, and now they're training women also, but they're training people to teach the gospel in Nigeria. They spread out and have roots all through Africa. It's amazing the ways in which they go about doing that. Chad and his family here, feel free to stop by and see them back there. They're visiting with us, and we're grateful for you to be here. If you will now, would you take a moment as we bow? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the many ways in which you bless us. You bless us in our everyday lives, with our health, with our family, with our friends, and so many ways that it's hard for us to imagine, because we realize that every good gift comes from you, Father, and we're so thankful for that. We pray, Father, that we will always express our appreciation to you, both in our homes, but publicly also. Give you the glory for everything we do. I pray that we'll be an example for you in everything, Father, whether or not it's on our jobs, it's in school, it's in our church lives. But we pray, Father, that we always put you first, and that we give you the glory for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who else commands all the hosts of heaven? Who else is made and created all around? Who else can whisper and darkness tremble? Only our Lord God, come and behold him, come and behold him, cry out, sing glory forever, the holy God, come and worship the holy God. What a relief and such praises, what a splendor that shines the sun, what a majesty moved in justice, only a holy God. Come and behold him, go on and behold him, cry out, sing holy forever, the holy God. Come and worship the holy God, who else can rescue me from my pain? Who else would offer his only son? Who else invites me to call him Father? Only a holy God. Come and behold him, go on and behold him, cry out, sing holy forever, the holy God. Come and worship the holy God. Come and behold him, go on and behold him, cry out, sing holy forever, the holy God. Come and worship the holy God.
Who's that guy with the sunglasses? The reading this morning before Scott's sermon comes from Romans 12, 13 through 20. I looked over this morning in my own Bible, and over this section of Scripture in my Bible, it had a heading, "The Traits of a True Christian." I thought, well, I'm a true Christian. I'll just give myself a little test here and go down through this list. So I started looking down through the traits of a true Christian, and I thought, well, I'll ace this because I'm really important to God. You might want to try this yourself. I hope that your score ends up better than mine. Because when I tallied it up, it read, needs improvement in all areas. Please pay attention to the reading of God's word. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the warmth, the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will reap burning coals of fire on his head.
Thank you, Terrell. It's time for our children to go to the Sunshine class. If you're visiting with us and have a child ages 2 through the 2nd grade, we would invite them to go to that class as well. Just get them to this double door over here, and they'll be taken up to the class where my wife and Sarah are taking care of them this morning.
Come see the sunshine, come see the sunshine.
Everyone, it is so good to see you. I am excited about being with you this morning. Several of our members are away this morning as they start, Lipscomb starts spring break this week. And then I know Good Pasture is the next week. We have some going on a cruise that are getting excited about that upcoming trip. What a wonderful morning it has been together already. Didn't Braden Sweeney do a wonderful job leading us in our unison reading this morning? I appreciate his willingness. I love seeing our young men participate in our service. And what a wonderful encouragement it is to me. When my kids were little, I used to think that the elementary school teachers would figure ways to get me back for the things that I had implanted on my children, for the ways that they had behaved because of the silly things that I had taught them. Like the time that I taught one of my children, I won't mention his name, how to shoot spit wads out of a straw, which he got in trouble for and had to miss recess. He later went up to the teacher in the middle of that recess as the windows were open. I thought it was cruel and unusual punishment that he could see his friends on the playground while he had to stay there and miss that. So he goes up to his teacher and he taps her on the shoulder and says, "Psst, hey, if I give you a dollar, will you get me out of here?" It was things like that that I thought these preschool teachers would do one thing specifically to try to get me back. They would send home a project that had to have glitter involved. I hate glitter. You know why? Glitter gets everywhere. You will do a project with glitter, and it will be months later, and somebody goes, "Oh, you've got glitter in your hair. How did that get there?" You can't get rid of glitter. I want you to know today that we're going to conclude our series on one another passages. And today, we're going to talk about showing hospitality to one another. And as I was preparing for this week, I thought, when we show hospitality to those around us, it's like Christian glitter. It sticks with you forever, doesn't it? Last week, we had the privilege of thinking about bearing with one another. This week, showing hospitality. And again, Braden, thank you for leading us in our unison reading there from 1 Peter chapter 4. I love this passage. "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Now, I think sometimes we have the wrong idea of what hospitality is. The first thing that we think of with hospitality is opening our homes to others. And clearly that's a part of it. As a matter of fact, as I was talking to my good friend Don Hudson this week about hospitality, as we were planning the service, we talked about maybe that we would love for everyone to have a goal in 2023 of opening up their homes to some in this congregation to show them the godly hospitality we're called to. And I hope you will consider doing that. But I believe hospitality goes way more than just opening up your homes. Listen to these definitions I found. The first one is the friendly or generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Now, that's pretty good. But listen to the second one I found that I like even better. The love of strangers. Doesn't that entail so much more with just a few small words? Jesus routinely ate with sinners through his earthly ministry. He received children gladly. He taught us to invite the lowly to our parties and to welcome strangers. He prepared breakfast for his disciples after his resurrection, even though they had scattered and ran. He ate with disciples on the road to Emmaus. Before his departure, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Even the first recorded miracle of Jesus foreshadowed the coming wedding feast where the groom, Jesus, awaits his bride, the church. Aren't you thankful for hospitality? Christ came to us to bring us into the family, to make us feel a part, but it came at a great cost. It wasn't free. It wasn't easy. But now we enjoy the privileges of the King's hospitality. The question that we have to ask each other this morning is this, though. Are we participating? Are we acting like Christ when we offer hospitality to others? I think many see Jesus as a personal example of morality. But do we let that bleed over? And yes, I use the word bleed for a reason. That crimson flow. Do we let that bleed over into our social examples? When we put on Christ and we're filled with the Spirit, the way we interact with the world should change forever, shouldn't it? It's different. Following Jesus includes following his practice of hospitality. It's joyous. It's authentic. It's generous. It's countercultural. It's hope-filled. When Jesus said, "Come follow me," he isn't calling us to offer a class or a program. As a matter of fact, if we look at even the greatest commandment, when Jesus was asked, "Love the Lord your God," but he quickly follows by saying, and the second is like it, "Love your neighbor as yourself." In this life, it includes hospitality. It includes opening up our homes. But hospitality does not apply to only those who own homes. Hospitality does not apply to only those who are adults. Hospitality is open our lives to others, to sharing life together. I think about my three students that have come this morning. I'm so thankful to see them, and I hope you'll make them feel welcome of the way that I see hospitality in their life, whether it's talking about fishing and what bait seems to be pulling them in today, or sharing something to eat with someone at the lunch table, or maybe even during the middle of my class. Hospitality is more than just opening your door. With this in mind, I'd like to offer four practical ways this morning. I want to give you something you can take with you today, practice today, of showing Christian hospitality. And when we do that, you know what we become? Christian glitter. It'll be months down the way, and they'll still see it in their hair. They won't be able to get it off their hands or out of their minds, because we're showing the love of Christ by the way we live. So here you go. You might want to write these down. Number one, when we practice hospitality, we welcome everyone we meet. We extend a kind word to everyone that we come in contact with. We share our time, our energy, and our lives with others, especially those that may need our time more than we need their time. We welcome strangers and outcasts. If you have a Bible, you might turn to Luke chapter 19 for a minute. Starting in verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Zacchaeus opened his home to Jesus, but who was showing hospitality here? Zacchaeus was the chief of tax collectors, an outcast, one that was considered to be a Benedict Arnold, someone that had turned on his people. Yet Jesus opened his heart. He opened a line of communication with a kind word. He set an example for others by saying, "Today I must go to your house. I must eat with you." In the same way that Zacchaeus was worthy of Jesus' time, the outcasts that we interact with are loved by God and worthy of our time as well. If only we could get out of the rat race of hierarchy. If only we would look at each other differently, not by what we have, what we do, our power or prestige, but if only we could look at each other the way Jesus looks at us, precious brothers and sisters, those that will spend eternity together. So not only should we welcome everyone we meet, number two, we should engage people. When we practice hospitality, it's not just a simple greeting, it's engagement. Engage others with the mindset of Jesus. It's an investment. It's like digging in the garden. Some of you over here know what digging in the garden's all about, don't you? The only way that you can get your plants to grow and be as beautiful as they will be is to get your hands dirty. You have to get your hands into the soil. You have to break it up. You have to prepare it to plant the seed or to put the plant into the ground. Then are you done with it? Do you walk away? No, you have to water it. You have to watch out for weeds. You see, when we engage others, our hands are going to be dirty. Why? We'll look back in Romans chapter 12. And Terrell, I thought that was a wonderful way that you presented that passage to us today. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Your hands are going to get dirty. Practice hospitality. Your hands are going to get dirty. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Dirty hands. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of lower position. Dirty hands. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of everyone, if it is possible. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It takes dirty hands. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, are you ready for dirty hands? If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. and have dirty hands. This kind of engagement involves a personal connection. You can't do it from afar. You have to have dirty hands. The third practical way I see that we could offer hospitality is making meals a priority. Make mealtime a priority. Many of Jesus' striking moments in Scripture come at a meal. Sharing a meal with something is much more than just filling an empty stomach, isn't it? Oftentimes, it's filling an empty soul. Invite a person to a meal. Pay for the meal if possible. Pray for your guests specifically before you eat together. Use meal times to build relationships and talk about things that really matter. But it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to cost a lot. Maybe make McDonald's your ministry. Maybe it's just a cup of coffee or a Coke. I can't even imagine the number of times through the years of ministry, through the years of youth ministry, where I've taken someone to just go get a Coca-Cola. But it was way more than just a Coke. That conversation was the value. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we see that the new Christians devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. It was the secret sauce to the growth of the church. Hospitality, it's glitter. It's the secret sauce. It's the connection. It's the way that we can encounter Jesus on earth. Welcome everyone you meet. Engage with people. Make mealtime a priority. And finally, look for those that need encouragement. We all interact with people at work, at church, at school, in our neighborhoods. But how many of these people are outcast and unnoticed? How many of these people are struggling or hurting? Be observant. Look for ways to encourage. Your uplifting word or kind action may change someone's life forever. It may be the rescue buoy that they needed at just the right time. Matthew chapter 22, starting verse 36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, church, this morning, why don't we practice the greatest commandment? Let's go be glitter. If we can help you be glitter in any way, we'd love to. We'd love to pray with you. We would love to help find a way that you could start a ministry here at this church. Maybe you are the next McDonald's ministry of coffee. We want to help you, because we know that you becoming glitter will change the world, and it'll be in people's hair forever. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?
And then we'll be dismissed after that prayer. Our children will join us. Scott, I really appreciate that lesson. And I hope all of us will take that to heart and make 2023 a year of hospitality. We'll sing this last song. Our children will rejoin us, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
How you slay, how you strive.
Father, the scriptures that we heard today are mighty and influential. Get down in our soul and in our heart and stir us up to realize the blessings of being your children, realizing the blessings that come from the Spirit leading us to do all the things that we read about today. Father, help us to be hospitable people. Help us to recognize the needs of others. Help us to take time to recognize the needs of others. Help us to love others. Father, we've got an extensive list of people here that are either under the weather or that have recently lost loved ones, and we pray for every one of them, especially pray for Stephen Vaughn, who's going to have surgery coming up soon on his hip, and we ask your blessings on him and those that are taking care of him. Father, bless us today as we leave this place to be uplifted and to be ready to be your stewards and your servants wherever we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Just finished the latest Girl Scout cookie season, and if you're like me, there are at least a couple of varieties that are your go-to cookies. And if you're like some of us, we purchase a few extra boxes, stashing them either in the freezer for our future enjoyment, or we have the secret hiding place for those late-night munchie delights. And those places may actually be under lock and key. However, in those off-season times, after the cookies are but a tasty memory, I found a really good imitation for one of mine that I can get year-round. So when we think about those items we call imitations, there is one imitation that Scripture says is really the best. Ephesians 5 tells us that being imitators of God because it's really preferred, and that being that imitation, we become a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. In other verses in this chapter, we're told how to how this imitation is pleasing to Him. We will live differently, and in living differently, our lives will reflect that God-pleasing life, which is really what He wants anyway. We remember that as Peter warmed himself by the fire in the palace court, he was recognized as a follower of Jesus. Do you remember the proclamation that was made of him? "The way you talk to us says that you are a follower of Jesus." So what about us? Does our speech give us away as a disciple of Jesus? I don't mean that those times that we're gathered for worship in the presence of other disciples, but wherever we are, at home, at school, or on the job. Then verse 8 tells us that before we knew Christ, we walked in darkness, but now we walk as children of light, and in doing so, we are pleasing to the Lord. God doesn't mind if we imitate Him. Actually, He encourages it and prefers it. Here are some other things that we should consider when thinking about being imitators of God. 1, be careful about your time. Don't be time wasters. Be an on-purpose person. Do what's right for the right reasons, and most of all, because it's right. We should be focused people because life is short. We're to really think about what we're doing and make wise decisions, and we should live a spirit-filled life. And here's something else. Don't let those opportunities to represent God pass us by. But most of all, try to understand God's will for our lives and make His will a part of us. So would you like to talk with someone about how in your daily life you can become one who imitates God? You can reach us at elders@cocgreenhills.org. Together, we can be the imitators of God that will make us more pleasing to Him. And you know, those Girl Scout cookies are really pretty good. I like Samoas and Thin Mints. However, we may find some imitation Girl Scout cookies that come close to our favorite cookie treat, but when we think about the best imitation of all, isn't it most important to be an imitator of God? And what's more, we can be.